Stromer's in New York City, but he's still
It's a big hot show today. You know why? Because we talk about out of square framing, and what do you do? How do you cover a bathroom tile job that you no longer like? It's hot and big. And also the history of Marlite.
Hot Marlite talk. Man, yeah. They should send over a fruit basket. All right, we'll do that. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
What's up, everybody? It's All-Star and World Series champ Nick Swisher here, and I'm stoked to tell you about my new podcast, The Nick Swisher Show, right here on Podcast One. If you know me, you know I've worn a lot of hats in my career, and each one of them has had highs, lows, and a whole lot of learning in between. And that's exactly what I'm bringing to this podcast. You're going to get crazy interviews with athletes from their struggles to their successes and all their unbelievable superstitions along the way. You're going to hear from hometown heroes that are stepping up to the plate and making positive change and influences in their communities. I mean, we've got scientists, coaches, comedians. I'm telling you, whether you're an athlete, a parent, a coach, or just looking for a little energy in your life, then Home Plate is right here. It's old school soul with new school vibes. It's the Nick Swisher Show, coming soon wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a church. Big on a mandate. Get it on.
Get it on from New York City.
Stromer's in New York City. What you doing? Following your son around?
No, now my daughter won this teenage film festival.
Oh,
so
my
she's
God.
She's going to come collect an award. We're going to watch her film. And then my wife's directed this Melissa Etheridge show.
Oh, that's right.
Really good. Yeah. Man. So the girls in the Stromer family really our potential. I can retire and just sit back and let it all come rolling in.
You got two pretty good potential earners in terms of the offspring. You got a phenom basketball star for a son. You have a award-winning filmmaker as a daughter. What is this film?
This is it was based on her feeling like I'm a teenage girl now and I've lost that like little girl feeling and all these bitches in school are so mean and awful to each other that I don't know how to deal with it. So she kind of made this movie about that, which is really amazing. It's amazing. Actually, it's really well done. I'm pretty good, you know, with cameras and stuff. And I have a lot of gear and I tried to help shoot with her and she just basically kept yelling at me, hold the damn camera, and if you pan one more time I'm gonna kill you. That's where she's at.
Is it a short?
Yeah, it's like about 3 minutes short.
Oh, it's only 3 minutes long.
Yeah
that's as short a short as I've heard in a while.
I think it's 3 to 5, somewhere around there. 3 to 5, I can't remember exactly. Close to 3 to 5, somewhere in there.
So she's in New York in a film festival?
Yes. Yeah. It's the Independent Teenage Film Festival, National Film Festival. Really cool, man.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? I know. She won the high school festival with it. Then they submitted it and then it got into this one.
Wow. That is, that is impressive. And
I know. I wanted to come watch you do your thing in your editing base and stuff, learn how to do that. So maybe you can take her under your wing.
I shall. Although I don't know if she needs my help at this point. All right.
Yeah, you and me both.
Questions, Gary? vids, tweets, calls. What do we got?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and start with the video question this week. I want to thank everyone who's been submitting their video and email questions, and I want to encourage you to please continue to do so. You can email them to us at aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. You can tweet them to us at aceonthehouse, and of course, you can go to aceontheroof.com if you want to watch the videos that we play in each episode. I am now realizing I have to share this through Zoom so Stromer can see it. So just give me 10 seconds here, Ace.
Okay, so let me just tell you, Ace, man, I'm walking through Manhattan this morning getting my steps in with my new watch.
Oh, you got a watch. Yeah,
yeah, I got the watch. And, mm-hmm. and it's counting the steps. And I'm watching all these poor guys load up freight elevators. Doormen are letting carts come in with gear, like saws and, you know, their toolboxes and all that stuff. And, you know, like to get even into the apartments to remodel something, to bring any tools in, it's such a nightmare pain in the ass, right? Because everything is vertical. You can't just spread your stuff out, right?
Yeah. Whenever I go through New York, there's always projects going on left and right. And I always marvel at how much they can get done in this super condensed area, because parking alone, you know, what you want when you're doing a remod is for the neighbor to be out of town and say you can use his driveway. You know, you just need places for vans and trucks to pull up. You got to offload all that stuff. There's just no room in that place. And it's amazing how they've adapted to it, how they can build in such a condensed population. All right, we have a vid question ready, so says Gary.
That's right, we do. And this one comes to us from Joe. It says, hey, fellas, I had to remove the old stair nose on this basement staircase landing. I want to replace it. I'm not sure how this fits into the structural stringers on the side. Let me know how you'd do it. Thanks, Joe.
Hmm. Oh, so they're let in.
I got a hot stair talk.
Mm-hmm. Hot stair talk. What's he got?
This is the basement landing and stairs. It used to have plywood on top of it with indoor-outdoor carpeted glued down and stapled. Mm. I pulled that up, and the stair nose tread was FUBAR. So I yanked it out, and I am now going to replace it with hardwood oak and then have someone sand and finish it. Can I just slide a stair nose tread into here? You can see that this has a notch out for it, and these side trim pieces are the support for all of the stairs, so I can't remove them or anything.
Jesus.
I want to know how you would handle that. Would you maybe bevel this edge or cut here? I would prefer not to do that, to get a stair nose tread in there at level so I can finish doing the hardwood. Thanks.
All right, so it's got the bull nose for the nosing, and it's let in on both sides. It's mortised in, I don't know, quarter inch, 3/16 on each side. Now, if it's, here's how I would do it. I think if the stairs were, would you tell me, Stromer?
Yeah.
If the stairs were 36 inches wide in between the stringers, if it was 36 inches in between the stringers, and maybe it's 35 3/4, maybe it's 40, maybe it's 28. I don't know, but whatever that number is, I would figure out how far it's let in on each side. Let's say it's 1/4 inch each side. I would cut my bullnose or my stair nose at 36 1/4. I would drop it in one side fully, push it to the butt front of the step, and then slide it over 1/8 inch. Getting both sides in the let in, but not fully, of course, in the let in, because if you cut it that long, you won't get it in.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I think that's, and the only other thing would be that he might have to router out more of the let in area, because we don't know if the tread is going to fit in what that pre-existing, you know, opening is, right? Do we know exactly that that's going to come out into the same exact spot?
Show it to me again, Gary. He's just trying to get the bullnose on there. So the bullnose should be.
But do we even know if his bullnose is that it's not going to positionally be there exactly. You see what I'm saying? Because the plywood's going to make it go up too high.
He may want to paint this shit at a certain point.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. Because it's at zero where the plywood. The plywood, I agree. The bed would go.
Yes.
Right. But I think he said he was going to take it out or something, which I was also questioning.
I'm just going to answer his question, which is if I had something that was 34 inches wide and the let in on each side was a quarter inch, I would basically take my tape, butt it into one of the let ins, go to the other side and cut it right with the stringer,
yes,
and then
yes,
pop it in and slide it over so you had your coverage. All right, that's right. All I got for him. What else you got, Gary?
Well, let's go to an email question we've got here. And this one's actually less of a question than just a shout out to one of our sponsors. And it says our pool lights went out and we decided instead of replacing the old ones, we went with rechargeable ones. We used JB Weld. Let's see here. We used JB Weld water weld to adhere to our PebbleTec pool. I didn't have to drain her, and it worked perfectly on an incredibly uneven surface. Thanks, Jimmy James Holtz.
Wow-wee. PebbleTec pools, man. That is a marker. I remember Stromer and I always talk about not wanting to put a time stamp on your house other than when it was built. I was doing an old Spanish place in the Hollywood Hills from 1927. It came time to replaster the pool. And I remember the pool guy was pushing hard for PebbleTec. And I was like, no, it needs to look like a 1920s pool. And he's like, everyone is going with PebbleTec. Everyone loves PebbleTec. And I was like, it is 2003 and we're not going with PebbleTec because that'll give it a time stamp. People will go, oh, this is a beautiful old Spanish house brought back in every authentic detail. And then they'd go, when'd you do the pool? 2005? I don't want that.
Exactly. Yeah, because, I mean, you can date remodels by the flooring choices and the counter choices.
Right.
Which is why, you know, it's like you want to – like when you buy men's fashion, you want to buy a navy sport coat because it can last for 40 years.
I agree.
Not some trendy ass thing that you got to buy next month because it's changed already. You know, it's that sensibility.
Is PebbleTec a thing anymore? I don't feel like I see it anymore.
I tell you what won't happen with PebbleTec. You won't be slipping on your pool deck.
That's true.
Pebble's got that nice.
They do the whole pool with PebbleTec.
But boy, do I hate the way it looks.
PebbleTec is very 1993 to 2005. But I don't feel like I see it used as much as I used to see it. But maybe they've refined it a little bit. Gary says he's on the PebbleTec website, up, going strong, but I think they have different versions. Oh, they give you a picture of what it looks like underwater. Is that correct, Gary? Is that what we're looking at?
I think they're, I mean, I guess it's not technically underwater, but through the water is sort of what they're showing, you know, how it's going to make the water appear.
The pictures look good, but they're on their website. I just say whatever it is. Now, I instead said to the pool guy, famously, although no one else knows this story but me, I said to him, I don't want PebbleTec, and I don't want a blue pool. I want a 1927s style deco, art deco green pool.
Oh, you are a man of vision. What you are.
The color of those old swimming pools you see in those old pictures, the public thing.
Yeah, like at Hearst Ranch, like, or that old Hearst Castle vibe, right?
It's that great 20s deco green that they would do a lot of bathrooms in and stuff, fixtures and whatnot. So I said to the guy, I want it in this crazy deco green. And the guy was like, sure you don't want the Pebble Tech? And I was like, no. And he goes, well, no one does this green. I'd have to make it up for you. And I said, yeah, okay, whip it up. And so he whipped up this off kind of deco green. And he, before he plastered the pool, he like knocked on the door and he said, I want you to sign something. And I said, what? And he said, he pulled out a piece of paper with the plaster smeared on the paper. And he said, sign this. Because when you hate this color, I don't want you coming back to me.
And how did it end up looking, man?
I don't know. Gary can probably find pictures of that pool.
Lake Hollywood?
From Lake Hollywood. I came out perfectly. I even put a tile stripe down the middle of it with the two ending T's on the end of it, just like they did back in the day. Gary will look for that. I'll tell you about Roman. 42% of men experience hair loss. There are lots of options to help you stop balding, and you can stop it in its tracks. The sooner you start, the easier it is to keep the hair you have. Roman, clinically proven medication to help treat hair loss, get prescription medications and over-the-phone treatments as well, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. Plus, specially formulated shampoos and conditioners to fortify and moisturize hair so it looks fuller. Simply complete a free online visit. Then a U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best plan. If meds are appropriate, Roman ships it direct in discreet packaging with free two-day shipping. It's Roman. Right, Gary?
That's right. Right now, Roman has a special offer for our listeners. Use this link to get 20% off your first order. Just go to GetRoman.com/ace today. That's GetRoman.com/ace for 20% off.
All right.
So I did a house up in Calabasas and insisted that I wanted to do the floor, the walnut, beautiful walnut floor blue.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy stained the floor blue and it was really beautiful. And then I, of course, didn't think it was blue enough and went over it again. And then when they put the finish on it, it literally looked like shit. And I ruined the floor.
Guy should have given you the swatch for you to sign.
I know it, man. I know it. That looks great, actually. Look at that. That's beautiful,
yeah. Yeah, we're looking at a picture of it, but it doesn't really fully capture the green part of it. But, yeah, it came out. It came out perfectly.
And I think in California, man, or any place where it's warm most of the time, the darker the – I always think, like, the darker the pool, the less you'll have to rely on heating, won't you? Doesn't it get the water warmer?
Yeah, there's a picture where you can see the green, how it's that deco green.
Did you ever stand on that balcony with a guitar and a huge sombrero and serenade your beautiful ladies at the poolside?
As a matter of fact, I didn't, but I did jump off that balcony into the pool many a time. Best way to wake up in the morning. And also, old school pools are deep. I don't know what the deal was. People were only 5'5" back then, but the pools were 11 feet deep.
I think it was the diving board. I have a really deep pool. Mine was done in 51 originally, and it's super deep also, and that was the diving board.
Yeah, the reason people break their neck by the diving boards.
By the way, people who have pools now and the rules around diving boards are so pussy, it makes me sick.
Oh, yeah.
That the diving board has become like dodgeball. If you could hurt yourself diving.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Please.
No, it's funny because the way they would... I think the problem they had with people breaking their neck with pools is the pool would start shallow and then dip down pretty quickly to deep. The diving boards back in the day were big and they were long.
Yeah.
And you'd stand on the end of them and you'd launch yourself. But if you launched yourself far enough, you'd be out of the deep part of the pool and into the slope part of the pool. So you're going head first into 4 feet. Even though you just jumped over the 11-foot part, that's how they rolled back then.
That's probably it.
All right, Gary, what do we got?
Well, we got an email video question here. Let's see. This one comes to us from Mark, and it says, gentlemen, here is my video question about our guest bathroom attached. Let me know if you need any more information or pictures. Mark, and I'm going to put it up on Zoom right now for you guys.
Hey, gentlemen, this is Mark from St. Charles, Illinois. Just redid the bathroom in this house here. This is my house, my son's bathroom. You know, typical 1987, you know, colonial style house. Stromer will be familiar with these. They're all over Northern Illinois. So as you can see, I put in a new, basically everything in this bathroom is new except for the shower. Now that I have it all done, I even had this down to taking the subfloor out, plumbing underneath, new toilet, the works. Long story short, now that it's back together, I realize how sort of dingy the shower actually looks. And I was going to live with it, except for there are a few places in the tile here where you can see the grout was beginning to deteriorate. So I just threw some silicone on there for a short-term solution. So the challenge is that I don't want to tear this bathroom apart again because I just refinished everything else. And like a dumbass, I did not think enough about the shower situation when I was doing it. And so my two ideas are basically, one, to regrout this. The tile itself is in good shape. It's just the grout that is getting old. It looks like you can buy different attachments for the Dremel tool to get that out of there and regrout it. I assume that's going to take a long time and be a huge mess and a big pain in the butt, but that might be my best option. The only other thought I had was, you know, these rebath companies will come in and put the plastic walls over the tile and retain the original tub base in there. I'm not sure I'm going to love the way that looks, but if that's the easiest thing to do, I'm open to it. Also, I don't know what would happen here on the side with the sort of tile coming down on the outside. I don't know if I assume they've got a way to deal with that. But again, I would like to preserve this as much as I can because I just finished remodeling the rest of the bathroom. So that is my challenge, guys. I appreciate any advice you have, and keep up the great show. Thanks.
Yeah.
Doesn't this seem like a job for Billy, the special needs neighbor boy, to do, like what you talked about last week with the grout saw and just kind of going around and doing that? And once it's just slightly channeled out, they sell these grouts that have adhesive property to them as well. As long as you clean it off really well, it won't etch on the tile.
Well, that's a Stromer question. How much of any existing grout do we need to remove before we re-grout?
If you literally took one of those saws that looks like a razor blade that you put in a knife on a wood handle and just went around each grout line, you know, started at the top and worked your way down, it would probably take 2 days if Billy the neighbor boy came in. And you only need to go down like, you know, not even an eighth, like a 16th and a half is enough just to get all the old grime off. And then that new grout that has adhesive in it will totally stick and look fine. But you do have to watch your ass on cleaning it, because if you leave it on, it's very difficult to get off.
I think that's 330 seconds, but. That you say the thing looks like a razor blade, but it looks like a razor blade with sand on it. It's a tungsten blade, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And you could use one of those multi-tools, you know, and probably buzz through it pretty quick with a multi-tool and one of those tungsten blades. So that's one way. And then you have to, you know, blow it out, clean it real well, and regrout it. That's easy. But let's not rule out the bath fitter angle because of the look on the missus's face when she walks in there and sees what you've done to the place.
Oh my Lord. I know, so quickly. And the guy will have, as we've spoken of before, khaki pants and a navy izod.
That's right. And you'll never see him do any of the actual work. All you'll see him do is at the end, he'll have a yellow microfiber rag and he'll just be buffing out the last bits before.
And as she walks in, he'll have a platter and he'll say, cheese. And there'll be a couple of little cheese wheels on a silver platter.
I have never seen anyone in the construction industry buffing something out.
No,
I've never experienced that. I've seen them throwing shit on the floor and lighting a cigarette, but I've never seen the buff out move. It's funny. You know, the very earliest forms of this sort of refitting bath stuff was stuff called Marlite. You familiar with Marlite?
Yes.
Marlite. Wait a minute. Do you know Stromer? Are you just making a noise?
Wait, isn't that the stuff that they put on cars to change the color of the cars?
No.
Kind of?
No.
No. What's that one?
That's Carlite. No.
It is, really?
No, I made that up. Marlite. Gary will find me what Marlite is. So have you guys, everyone has experienced this. Gary, Emmy, you have walked into a bathroom at like a truck stop, right? In the middle of Merced. And when you walk in, you see that white sheet of textured plastic that's on the wall that goes halfway up the wall with a little white plastic edge on top of it and then a little corner edge thing. And it's basically because they're a truck stop, they don't want people, you know, blowing snot rockets and pissing on the side of the wall and stuff. So they can't just have the drywall there. It's that weird, it screams this is a bad bathroom in a bad part of town. But it's that comes in 4x8 sheets. It's thin as shit. You just glue it to the wall and then you put like a little top cap strip on it, a little strip in the corner where it meets, and maybe a little base strip, or sometimes you just run that down and it always comes up to the 4 foot level. And that's what Marlite is.
One of my favorite glory holes is in Merced, and I think it does have
Marlite. It's got the Marlite. I've installed that stuff in my glorious career. And, so now what Gary showed me, so the stuff I'm talking about, that's circa 1983, you know. What Gary's shown me now is that Marlite, because this is what companies do, they innovate. So now they have patterns and tiles and stuff, you know. So instead of just a white piece, it's kind of generic flesh-colored plastic stuck to the wall. And they put a little texture on it. Looked a little bit like a textured wall. And, you know, you could clean it with Windex. That was all. Now, Gary's saying they have all kinds of different offerings. Is that true?
Yeah, there are a ton here. I'm going to show up. I'm throwing up another page. So they've got ones that replicate marble, wood, stone. They now will print on them. So if you're the University of Michigan and you need a wall for the locker room, it comes all pre-printed with the logos and such. So, yeah, they got a ton of different products now, it would appear.
So it's essentially laminate for your bathroom.
It's almost like a masonite or something, isn't it? Like that vibe with just it's a backing piece of material.
It's a really thin piece of plastic, essentially. And
okay, gotcha.
So what you would do, what I would do is I would go, well, what offerings do they have? Maybe there's something cool, or maybe there's something that replicates the pattern of the existing tile. Or maybe we want to get the University of Michigan marching band up there, or a big picture of my son nude so he can look so he can look at himself. I'm sure
a picture of me and Adam thumbs up across from the toilet, encouraging him to make a nice friendly stool.
I gotta believe the Marlite company is probably has standards and practices. You know what I mean? Like it has to be like vanity plates. You know, you can't write fuck off on a vanity plate, but you could put your last name on there. Right. So obviously the picture of us would have to be tasteful.
It would. Yes. What do you think? Blazers, something formal, right?
No. I'm saying nude, but tasteful.
Nude posed so that you don't see our genitals, but you know we're nude.
You know, like when a starlet is 8 months pregnant and she poses for Vogue?
Yes.
That kind of shot where the arm is kind of covering up and the hand is slid down.
Right. So maybe I'm around you and you're in my arms and we're just looking fondly at him and you're just slightly turned to the away from camera so we don't see your junk.
I think if you're behind
me, a fruit bowl in front of your genitals.
I think if you're behind me, you could just slide your hands down. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. That's exactly right.
All right. So we'll.
Or a potter's. How about a potter's wheel?
A potter's
like
wheel.
Ghost.
Yeah.
Like we're doing ghosts, the ghost scene.
Yes. So I would submit that to the Marlite company. Now, I don't know, Gary. I don't know if they would want you to put the Marlite directly over the tile, which, you know, it's not, it's uneven. It's not that uneven. You would put it on with mastic and a notch trowel, right, Gary? So
they have their own special adhesive, but yes, it looks exactly like that. And then they say you roll the panel after installation. So I don't
roll it with a wheel.
Yeah.
Okay. And then,
so wait, Adam, yeah. it's not rigid though, like with the backer board scenario, right?
It is rigid. It is rigid. It's I don't know, Gary, they're probably going to give you how many mil thick it is, and then I won't fucking know what the mill is, but it's under an eighth, or it used to be under an eighth. I don't know what it is now. Is it, give it some sort of like it's 5 mil thick or something like that? I don't mean millimeter, I don't think.
Right.
I mean like mil, but Gary can look it up. So one could, and here's what he could do if he wanted to do it. He could go in there and he could go online and he could pick out 3 sheets of Marlite or whatever it was going to take, right? Whatever and whatever pattern and whatever, you know, I don't know, go with a metal finish or go with a concrete finish or whatever the offerings they had. Find the one you like. Make a template. You got to make a template. Don't just measure and drop it in. Things are going to be cattywampus. I would do like a cardboard template, or at least do the templates like the countertop guys do, where you take
with a stick,
with the flaps of Luon.
Yeah,
they do rip strips of like 3-inch wide Luon. You know,
and
put it in there, staple it in, or glue
gun
it in, or whatever that is. You know, make that. Then you go out and follow the template. Take your notch trowel, put the mastic on there, and then roll it with the wheel. You don't even really need to roll it with the wheel. You can just tap it with your palm over and over. You know, really just set it in. Or you
can. They do those corner trim pieces too.
Inside
right?
corner trim
yeah,
piece.
Inside corners.
Top
yeah, yeah.
top edge trim right. piece. You could trim it out. I mean, if you're good, you could do it that way, and it'd be pretty cheap.
But is it waterproof enough to shed shower proof water and stuff?
It's made for the bathroom. I mean, I don't know if it's made for the shower stall, but it's definitely meant for 1 million truckers to piss 2,000 gallons of piss on it for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
0.09 in the mil, is that, or inch? Or
inches. Nine hundredths of an inch thick.
So that's thin. Okay. Thin. So one more thing.
Yeah.
I would definitely.
Is it so thin that it'll show the grout joints behind it?
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should definitely clean the shit out of the tile. You should definitely etch the tile. And I think if you put on. Use one of those notched comb trowels, you know, and put on the mastic and roll it out. I think you would get it. But you may have to skim the shit with grout and get everything back up to, you know, surface height.
Yeah.
All right. That's my Marlite solution.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. I mean, you know, because conversely, you rip out all the tile walls. That's a $35,000 to $5,000 job.
I think I think this is a quick and inexpensive fix. You guys marvel at how much I know about the building, or
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I do as well.
They play pretty close.
I actually do. Okay, I don't play your flow close to chest at all.
I play pretty close to the vest. I
dropping
never hear
Marlite that. Knowledge over I'm here.
That's a Marlite mic drop. You can't argue.
All right, let me tell you about Concrete. That's what I wanted to say. Concrete, man, this stuff is good. I take it. Dr. Drew takes it. Your body makes half the creatine it needs. The other half comes from your diet. But most American diets, not good with creatine-rich foods. Concrete, patented creatine, HCLs, the favorite creatine of elite, well-informed athletes. The number one bioavailable creatine and the only microdosing creatine. Just one small scoop per 100 pounds of your body weight. It's got a nice lemony flavor. Put in a couple scoops, shake it up. Tastes good, and you immediately feel a burst of energy. Try it. You will 100% agree with me. Creatine is required for functional energy in every cell, and your brain uses about 20% of the creatine in your body. So let's get started with some Concrete, right, Gary?
Take control of your health, both body and mind. Build a better you with Concrete. Register now at con-crete.com/podcast. That's con-crete.com/podcast for a chance to win a $500 Walmart Visa gift card. Available now online and in stores at Walmart, Concrete is truly life-changing and performance-enhancing.
All right, quick break, right back after this. All right, so we had a call, but I think the call dropped off. So what do we got here, Gary?
You know why? It was probably another one of the people calling desperately about Marlite information, and all of
your right.
questions were answered.
Chances are, I just checked every Marlite box in the book, man. All right.
All right. So we have an email question mm-hmm. here, and there are a few pictures. I'll try to cycle through them as I read this gentleman's
nice.
Message. It yeah. says, Ace and Strummer, get it on. I am planning on removing my fireplace because I am tired of patching the failing mortar and leaks in the roof around the chimney. Also, because it will be more efficient to have the wood stove open to the room than stuck in the firebox where all my heat just goes out the chimney. The wood stove will be moved to another location at the side of the room with a new chimney built outside of the house. Any tips on supporting the ridge beams until I can get the rock removed and new support beams built or put in place? My biggest concern is the house was built in 1953 and was originally just a cabin, so I have no idea of knowing what is underneath the stone facade or what exactly is supporting the beams until I start to remove some rock. I assume there is concrete block because that's what the chimney and fireplace foundation is made out of. But if the workmanship on the chimney is anything like the rest of the house, it's anybody's guess. He has some additional notes here about the size of the living room beam and the bedroom beam if you would like them, but that is from Robert.
Yeah. Okay.
There's no way the fireplace is supporting anything.
No.
Right? No.
Yeah,
it's always a freestanding facade, I think, within these scenarios. I wouldn't be worried. But if you're concerned, just get a couple of 4x4 posts. And if they're not long enough, you could build an 8-foot wall and then stack the post from the top of the 8-foot wall and cut it to size to hold it in place, right?
No. You know, just make get a longer post.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if it's more than 12 feet, 15, 16 feet.
It's 12 feet or 11
feet.
Yeah,
just get a 12 foot. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. You want to pick up the load. Obviously, you want to put a kicker under there, as we used to call it. You know, 4x4 will work. Don't go any smaller than 4x4. I would also see about just getting like a jack, you know, screw jack stand or something, you know, rent a thing up there. It's got more of a base on it. Take a look what's under the beam, under the post. Don't put it in the middle of the bay, in the middle of the floor. It's liable to push through or flex down or something like that. You know,
yeah.
get under the house.
Piece of plywood down that spans the joints would be fine probably, right?
Yeah. I mean, even just a 4x4 piece of plywood. You know, get your base figured out. Get your top figured out. And I also, you know, I'm trying to figure out a way not to mar things up, but I don't like just wedging it in. I like to build a little saddle or something for it up there, you know, screw on a couple of ears of plywood or something. So it just has a little more attachment to the beam
right.
that you're right. throwing it up against. Yeah, once you do that, you should be pretty good because I've torn out a fireplace or two. It's a freestanding monolithic masonry chimney with a firebox and everything that goes straight up. The framing will go to it on the outside right. or the inside, but I've not known it to hang off of it.
Right.
But definitely,
I mean, that's why I remember in the Northridge quake, that's like all the fireplaces fell because of that exact reason, right? There's no structure to them. They're just freestanding.
Oh yeah. The first earthquake, 72, in my 100-year-old valley house that I lived in
yeah.
with my mom, that had a very tall brick chimney because it had to go up higher than the roof line. And that was like 8 or 9 feet tall. It just fell right over and just landed.
Right.
It landed right in the neighbor's yard. So, and we never fixed it. We never fixed it. We never fixed that chimney.
Did you make fires on a shorter fireplace?
No. We never lit a fire.
You got a hole.
We weren't that into s'mores. There was just what the roof looked like is a roof line coming down and like yeah. two or three bricks broken off at the top of it and just an open space.
Beautiful.
We didn't cap it. We didn't put a dampener in it. We didn't touch it. Just
and
fell
you,
over.
You didn't even cook a pot of possum in
no.
the fireplace area?
No, right. we had nothing. But that was, yeah, that's what we had. So probably not, but I'll tell you what I would do. I would go to the front. I would chip off a few pieces of the stonework, and I would investigate just to make sure that top ridge beam wasn't let in or on a shelf of some kind.
Right. Your point about those bottle jacks, they can buy you, you know, if it's like 12.5.
Oh, I'm saying screw jacks. Sorry.
Yeah. But if you got yourself a little bottle jack, you know, you can buy them at one of the cheap stores for 50, 80 bucks, and it'll lift the entire house up easy.
Oh, yeah. No, I've lifted an outer deck with a 4x4 post and a small bottle right. jack underneath it. It's a little bit hairy
yeah.
going that direction. But yeah.
And also, if you do jack it, be careful that that fireplace doesn't fall on you. You know what I'm saying? Because if it is just freestanding and you move the framing, it could just tumble on you. So beware.
Yeah. I had a chimney and a fireplace start to crack and come down on me before yeah. as well, because I put a chain around it and some come-alongs at the ceiling height. And I was trying to suck a wall in from the other side. It's a long story, but it was kind of damn hairy, man. But
did you almost die?
No, but the guy who was inside, who was standing on the ladder and working the come along with the chains going about the ceiling height on would have been the ceiling height on a vaulted ceiling. I walked outside and saw the crack starting to form in the fireplace and starting to head toward him, and I ran back in and yelled like, "Get out!"
Oh my god.
It was crazy, man. I had a house from 1923, and the walls were so bowed out in the living room that I had to put come-along chains on top and suck the whole place back in.
Oh, my Lord. Have you ever had forms blow on a concrete pour?
Yeah.
That's scary.
Had the concrete forms blow. I mean, they used to blow because people formed with 1x6. And sometimes right. not enough form ties. Now they go with the plywood and all those form ties. I also had a concrete pumper's hose burst a hole in the middle of it inside the house, inside the apartment I was working on, all the way down the hall, just start shooting concrete all over the place. Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, man. Oh, man. What do you say to the lady then?
Well, this was doing earthquake rehab in Koreatown, and we were pumping it in to pour footings underneath this house that I had big apartment unit I had to crawl around under. So nobody really cared because it was subsidize housing. You know, there's these weird units, these weird single units with a Murphy bed in Koreatown, and the building had like 50 units in it, and everyone
got it.
Everyone was crazy.
That place is hot now with all the kids, right? K-Town is where you want to be.
I don't know if a place like the place I used to work on, Gary knew it, Mariposa. Was that the street it was on?
Yeah.
Was it Mariposa or that's another?
No, it's Mariposa.
Oh, it is.
I think it's like 520, if memory serves, but I have it here somewhere.
Yeah. That was an earthquake rehab job that was...
Ugh. 520 South Mariposa.
520 South Mariposa. I rehabbed that place. Earthquake-wise, dirty, hairy, crappy work. Worst. Yeah, yeah. And when you were fucking modeling in your dolphin shorts and banging the
so
head
tan.
Cheerleader,
I was crawling
underneath a condemned apartment building off of Mariposa.
I was trying to figure out how you could go deeper with the Band of Soleil. I wasn't quite brown enough.
Yeah, there it is. Is it? What would be the sale price on that? Do they give a price on that?
$1 billion.
Estimate,
man.
Right there is 1.75.
1.75 for a 25-unit building? How many? Does it say how many units? Does Zillow say how many units that thing is? I mean, I went in every goddamn unit in that motherfucking building, and it was three or four stories high.
48 units.
48 units?
Wait, that seems like not expensive for 48 units, doesn't it?
Now you're making my point, Stromer.
Wow.
Because it's a shit show.
It's been owned and operated by the same owner for 24 years. So their estimate is one thing, but I mean, who knows?
Get that guy in the blower. Let's give him a hard number.
Yeah.
Lowball him right now.
We'll give you 1.5.
1.5. I'll throw in some Marlite. 40.
Why does it say 6 bedrooms, 48 baths?
I'll tell you why.
Is there 42 studios?
Yes.
Oh.
And I've been in every one of them. I tore out every kitchen, every bathroom.
Isn't that a great price for a rental? Right? I mean, God, that seems like we should buy this building.
Well,
it's not for sale. That's the Zestimate, but I mean, that's based on...
That's why you got to make them an offer.
I was all hot. I was getting nervous. I was trying to figure it out and wire some money right now.
No. Here's the dealio.
Yeah.
That building, when I worked on it in 1987, everyone who lived in there, with the exception of Millie, who was the manager, and maybe even Millie the manager, that everyone in there was on subsidized housing. They're all subsidized. And
wait a second. Now I'm scrolling deeper, and although this estimate does still say 1.7, I'm seeing that it sold in 2019 for 9.375.
That makes more sense. We're going to have to up our bid to 2.
Yeah, to 1.7.
Yeah, 1.7 seemed exquisitely cheap for 48 units. There may be something with that building. If you buy
you
it,
you
must.
You have to make it subsidized again, right?
You can't gouge hipsters. You have to do the subsidy thing because every crazy old human being whose unit I lived in was being subsidized. And that's what I remember.
And out of every unit, how many times were you propositioned for sex?
They're all old men, pretty much.
Well, I still need to know your answer.
27 times.
Okay.
But on the top floor must have had 6 units with a bedroom. And I never went, I rarely went into the top floor units because when you're earthquake rehabbing a old brick building like that, you got to start at the bottom. You start with the footings underneath, you do shear walls, you go up. The first units that get it, the units that get the worst are on the first floor. We were literally cement blocking in their windows.
Oh, my God.
Then you'd go up to the next one. It'd be a bunch of shear wall. By the time you got to the top units, you didn't need to do nearly as much time in them, if you can picture that. All right, yeah. Let's see. I'll do one more spot here, and then we got a call up there about concrete pouring. Let me tell you about Claire. Innovative, new e-commerce paint startup that takes the hassle out of paint shopping. Designer, curated colors, peel and stick swatches. That's nice. You don't have to do the blue tape or the pin going into the drywall. And premium supplies delivered straight to your door. So if you want the good stuff and you don't feel like staying, the average paint line at the big box store is 17 hours. Yeah. Over under 17. Founded by an interior designer, Claire brings an expert point of view on color. Unlike traditional paint brands that overwhelm you with thousands of colors, Claire, color genius. Fun 2-minute quiz about your space and your style gives you your personality in paint. And they'll sort of work that in, and then they'll make recommendations. Plus, paint formulations that are zero VOC. We know Stromer loves that. Green Guard Gold certified for better indoor air quality. Go to Claire.com. Claire.com/ace for 10% off your first order. That's Claire.com/ace and get that 10% off. All right, one last call here. Nick, 35, Iowa.
Hey.
Hi, guy.
Hey, guys. I'm doing a house build, and our concrete guy poured our basement. The walls are the off square by 12 inches in 60 feet.
60?
And,
wait a minute.
I'm wondering what.
In 60 feet.
What?
60 feet?
Yeah.
Did you put a tape on it corner to corner and then cross the other corner and do the X and check for square that way?
Yeah, we did 3, 4, 5, and it's basically every 4 feet are. It's between 5/8 and 3/4 off square.
Is that Pythagorean theorem?
Pythagoras.
Yeah.
The theorem.
The 3, 4, 5. All right. You can do it that way. You can also tell something square by just making a big X, you know, one corner to the other corner. All right. Well, these are what do you want? It's a concrete guy. So then your whole house is going to be off by that much, right?
Oh, yeah. We've had to basically just abandon squaring to the outside walls and just square the inside walls.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering if you've ever dealt with, off square and dealing with, we're doing a hip roof, and how much does that affect when you're putting your trusses on the angles of the hips? Like, do you end up having to shim a lot, or does it end up working out?
Is it all framed up, or have you started framing?
Yeah, I'm working on the sheeting right now, so we're all framed up. It would have been, to have them fix it at the time, would have been a year and a half, basically, of legal fights. So, worth going through that.
Did you get anything off the price of the pour, please, God?
I'm pretty sure my boss has cut off a big chunk of his payment. But we're in a smaller town, so you're a limited number of people, so you don't necessarily want to piss people off.
Right.
I got to tell you, if I had a foundation formed and basement poured, and I don't know what the mud sill, is the mud sill 6 inches wide or 10 inches wide or something like that?
We did 8.
All right, somewhere between 6 and 10. There you go. So 8, that sounds about right. And you guys frame with 2x4s or 2x6?
2x6.
So you got 8 and 5.5. If I and they poured J-bolts Did they put J-bolts into the top? They poured that in?
They never stick them out properly.
Yeah, right.
If I was starting from that point, I might try to frame square on top of it, which would mean some of the bottom plate was on and some of it was off. You know what I'm saying? I would have considered that.
Oh, yeah, no.
And
we would have done 12 inches. It's not possible to fly or to hang over.
No, you would have had to add on to the mud sill. I mean, we'd have to pour something next to it, dowel into it. Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, it's all going to be free balled. You know what I mean? So, but like as you get to it, it'll reveal itself, and yes, you're going to have to shim and cut and change support. It's all going to move on.
Well, are you doing prefab truss up top, or are these
all prefab trusses? They actually just got delivered yesterday, so it'll be a nice pile to work through.
Mm. Yeah, if you're making the trusses on site, obviously just make them accordingly. I've never really experienced this. I'm guessing you can work with it, but it is kind of a bitch. And it probably would have been good to know before you framed, or maybe did know before you framed, because I would have taken more time and added on concrete and tried to go up square, you know. But as they say, it is what it is. And as they also say, you can't see it from my house. So I'm not that interested.
It looks fine. It's just making the rooms not look weird. And like our window jams not be off square if we try to square up a room.
Yeah, I would slowly try to work up and work towards square. I can't tell you what's going to happen with those prefab truss. And I'm sorry you're going through this, Nick, but I think it'll be fine. I think it'll work out. It's just it's kind of a bitch, and it would definitely bother me. All right. And on that happy note, Stromer's got to go on a horse ride around Central Park.
Damn right. I'm going to get in the buggy with Mrs. Stromer, and we're going to do a romantic with a blanket and a picnic basket.
Yeah. What a life Stromer's got over there. Look at you. You're just like, you're really just like the little Jesus on everyone's dashboard, aren't you, Stromer?
Yeah, I really am.
They're going about their business, and you're just stuck to it, sailing along. Not a care in the world.
Not one.
All right. October 28th and 29th, San Diego. Mic Drop Comedy going to be doing stand-up there, stand-up as well as live pods. And you can go to adamcarolla.com. Because at some point we'll be heading to St. Louis at Helium Comedy Club. That'll be November 11th and 12th in Vegas, November 2nd. I'm all over the place. Just go to adamcarolla.com. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.
Do you own, do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All this month, celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month with Pluto TV. Watch movies like Compadres and the Spy Kids trilogy, or your favorite stars like Luis Gerardo Mendez in Camino a Marte. Plus, Pluto TV has thousands more movies and TV shows and over 45 channels in Spanish, all for free. So download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming today. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.